This is Meet the People. I'm Kels Hetherington. Today, my guest is Beth Helgerson. Beth was Miss Alaska in 1991, and she joins us on the program today to discuss the Miss Alaska and Miss America pageants. Beth, welcome to Meet the People.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Beth, I wanted to have you on the radio to discuss the Miss Alaska pageant because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about this program, and I'm hoping you can clear that up some for us. Maybe we could start by connecting some of the dots and explaining how the Miss Alaska pageant relates to the Miss America program.
Sure. You know, the Miss America program started out in 1921, and it's really evolved. And we call it a scholarship program. It is a pageant, but really this is a scholarship program. And how it relates to the Miss America scholarship program is that young women here in Alaska have an opportunity to compete in the pageant to earn primarily scholarship dollars. And in most states, you have to compete in a local pageant in order to compete at a state pageant. And then once you win the title to the state pageant, then you go on to compete at the Miss America pageant. And that's really where it ends. A lot of people have misinformation about, do you go anywhere from there? And that is really the end point of our program, is the title of Miss America. It is the longest standing program here in the nation. It's 90 years old as of this year. And we really try to encourage the opportunity for young women all across the state to compete in this state program, because it's not required to have to do a local pageant in order to compete at our state level.
Yeah, Beth, I see the program has been ongoing since 1921. How were you selected as Miss Alaska?
You know, the program has and has not changed in the last 20 years. You know, it has remained a scholarship program. When I was competing, one of the newer concepts of the program was the quote-unquote political platform. And we have some people that kind of chuckle about what is a platform, but really it's one of the main core points of competition for the young women that compete. The core parts of our program that people get judged on stage is the interview, which is a private interview held with a panel of judges, the talent competition, which is an on-stage talent, and really those two competitions comprise of about 70% of the total score. That's one thing that really sets our program apart. The biggest emphasis is, how do you interview? How can you perform an on-stage talent? And then there's also a fitness competition, which I think drives the most political discussion and a lot of women's rights groups asking questions as to why, if this is a scholarship program, do women have to parade in a bathing suit? And we can discuss that later. And then there's also an evening wear competition. Those four core parts are what's judged upon. But then I think the newest thing that was introduced my year back in around 1990 was a political platform. And this is what our young women have to develop. They have to do community service. And they're really, really charged with answering a lot of questions and demonstrating what kind of community service they did as a part of this bigger competition.
Now, Beth, you mentioned that this is more than just a beauty pageant, but according to Wikipedia, it says that the swimsuit and evening wear portions of the competition compose about 35% of the overall score used by the judges to decide who becomes Miss America, and less than 25% of the overall score comes from the personal interviews. So in reality, this is still a beauty pageant, which isn't a bad thing because Americans love beautiful people.
Yeah, but I absolutely agree with you. I think that, you know, one of the things that we draw some ire from is, hey, if this is a scholarship program, why does it have to be associated thus? And I think that it's good just to say right out from the beginning, look, pageantry was started as a way to, well, in our case, it was a way to extend the tourist season in Atlantic City by having young women parade in bathing suits. And it completely evolved from there. And, you know, the percentages of the scores still remain very heavily focused on talent and interview, although about 30% is the fitness and evening wear. And that is really a nod to tradition. I think that one of the things that we really stand by in this program is that the way that you present yourself and the way that you feel about yourself in terms of how you show yourself, and that really has to do with how you present yourself confidently in the body you have, that is still a core of how women are judged But not just in this program. That's the reality. People don't want to say that there's any lines drawn between this type of program and the real world. And I would say, conversely, our society demands that you had better know how to present yourself the best way you can. I think the reality that people think that women that do this sort of thing have to be perfect or they have to have a certain body type, those are the myths that I try to dispel. But I guess the point that we try to focus on women presenting themselves in the best light possible, that is absolutely true. And so if people want to say it's a beauty pageant, that's okay, but in all reality, for the young women compete, that's probably the icing on the cake. Yes, we help you to put your best face forward, but in all reality, if you don't have the other boxes checked as far as a talent, as far as articulation in point, as far as your civic duty to the community, you're basically not going to ever emerge as getting a title. You're not going to be a title holder.
Beth, 20 years ago in 1991, when you were Miss Alaska, what did that involve on a day-to-day basis?
You know, the day-to-day role 20 years ago, I think, is a little bit less than it is now. But one of the things that you get the opportunity to do, and it's actually stated in our Alaska Constitution, is that Miss Alaska through the Miss America program is the official state hostess, which is kind of a broad mm-hmm. title, but what it gives you the opportunity to do is to be present at a lot of very meaningful events. I was seated at the head table for the governor's prayer breakfast. I was given the opportunity to meet with a lot of our leadership here in the state. I was given the opportunity to travel with a delegation from the city of Anchorage to the sister city of Chitose, Japan, and to participate in building international relations between Alaska and Japan. And as such, of course, I learned so much about Alaska and its relative relationship to other countries. And I think that, you know, the whole thing about this is that I think that the public sometimes looks to us and says, what do you do for us? And what I've learned through 20 years of involvement, and the reason I'm still involved, is it's really about the learning process of the participants. So for people that are looking at it from the outside, they maybe don't see the depth of opportunity, but for the people like me that had the opportunity to represent the state, to compete at a national level, to travel on behalf of the state, to really hone my skills as far as what I think and why I think it, those things were invaluable to me, and that's what I see duplicated every time we work with yet another woman who decides to even just give it a shot. It doesn't have to be someone who wins a title, but it's the process of them going through it where they learn so much about themselves.
And this is Meet the People. I'm Cal Hetherington. I'm talking today with Beth Helgerson. She was Miss Alaska in 1991 and therefore went on to compete for the Miss America title. We're discussing some of the things that are perhaps misunderstood about these pageants. Beth, has any Miss Alaska gone on to be Miss America?
No Miss Alaska has ever become Miss America. It's one of our biggest dreams. We did have a Miss Alaska, I believe it was in around 1995 or 1996. Her name is Jocelyn Tinker. She made the top 10, and we were all very excited. We've had a number of women that have won talent awards, including Rebecca Nybor and Audrey Solomon. And so we always are hoping to create more of a national stir, but as of this point, we haven't had a Miss America come from our state yet.
But you have had one very famous contestant, Sarah Palin, tried out for the crown in 1984, and she came in third place, is that right?
I believe so. I know that was in the mid-80s, and I do know that she competed in this program, yes.
Yeah. She's got to be your most famous Miss Alaska contestant ever. Let me ask you this. Has a Native Alaskan woman ever won the crown of Miss Alaska?
Absolutely. Our most recent was Peggy Willman, and she was in the 90s. I'm sorry, I can't give the exact year, but Peggy Willman, and she actually did a fantastic national talent with a Native dance. And seeing that on stage at the Miss America program was just absolutely stunning. And I think really lent a big awareness as far as our Alaska Native population and how important that culture is, not just to our state, but to the nation. She brought so much awareness and was just a fantastic Miss Alaska.
We talked a bit before the interview, Beth, about how difficult it is for folks in rural Alaska, young women, to compete in the Miss Alaska series. If you live in Nome, Barrow, or St. Paul, Alaska, how might you be able to take part in this statewide competition?
Well, first of all, we very much encourage anyone who is living out in a, you know, in a non-accessible to a local pageant area to contact our organization. And what we can guarantee is a lot of support, not only just with the paperwork review, but also if someone chooses to get to Anchorage for the state program, which is in June, I believe, the 24th and 25th. Our paperwork is due in the middle of April, and I'll make sure to give some website information that we will ensure that anyone that is able to get to Anchorage is given a host family for the week and is given some major support in competing in this program. So while it is difficult, it is not inaccessible, and we are, as a program, available and willing to make sure that anyone that travels to Anchorage not only has housing but has some major support with paperwork and just getting together all those needs that have to happen prior to the competition.
Now, you mentioned a while back that sometimes the Miss Alaska pageant was operating outside the cities of Anchorage and Juneau and Fairbanks and visiting some of the rural communities like Dillingham. However, that hasn't happened in an awful long time. Are there any plans to maybe expand the program and have it encompass some of the smaller places in Alaska?
Absolutely. And in fact, if anyone is listening that is interested in getting involved as a director, we are currently trying to recruit local directorship in Juneau, Fairbanks, Kenai, Bethel, Dillingham, King Salmon. Anywhere that would like to put on a local program or even act as a point person to the Miss Alaska Scholarship Program, we need volunteers. Our organization is run entirely on a volunteer base. In fact, there's only 7 paid volunteers nationwide. And so this type of program, especially in a state like Alaska, which is this spread out, is actually very, very challenging. And one of the things that we've discussed as the program continues and less volunteers tend to be available because they're spread so thinly, is how we can continue to make this available to young women that live outside of city areas. And it's extremely important to our program, and yet we're left with the quandary of the fact that there's only so many of us. So one of the things that we have dedicated our program to be is that we will never be a closed pageant. What that means is that you do not have to win a local title in order to compete at state. So that's one thing that we've done to break down those barriers, so that if someone does live in a far-reaching location would like to compete, they are welcome, and we will make sure that they are hosted during their time of competition. So if there's anyone listening that would like to be a point person for the program or would like to participate, we'll make absolutely sure to give website and phone information as far as how to reach the Miss Alaska Scholarship Program and get more involved.
Yeah, sure, Beth. Looking at some of the history of the program, the Miss America program, following a dispute in 1951, the Miss USA Universe pageants emerged. How have they managed to distinguish themselves from the Miss America organization?
Well, it was an interesting happening because the history of that was that there was a swimsuit sponsor to the Miss America organization, and I believe it was Janssen.
Yeah, you know a lot about that. I'm impressed.
And one of our Miss Americas, and I believe her name was Bibi Schopp, refused for the first time in history to be photographed in a swimsuit. She wanted to be photographed in her evening wear. And there was a disagreement because our sponsor had been very staunch in their support of the program. And there was a disagreement as far as how that should be perceived, and our current Miss America said firmly, you know, this program is emerging. I want to be viewed as something other than a swimsuit model. And at that point, they branched out to start the Miss USA program. And, you know, in all reality, these programs are viewed by the public as all being very similar. And in reality, if you're involved as far as the production and the direction of these programs, they're all extremely different. And it's understandable that they all get lumped together. You know, I think that's with a lot of different things where you're not the quote-unquote expert. I couldn't tell you everything about football leagues or whatnot. But with these programs, the Miss USA program has really emerged to be kind of your quintessential ideal model of a woman. And I always call this the true beauty pageant, and I think it really stands for that. These women are, the entirety of their scores are really focused in on how they present themselves, body types, the way that they model their swimsuits. And I think it's still a program of fantastic opportunity for a lot of women. We never discriminate. It's just extremely different, where our program, most of the emphasis is placed on what kind of civic duty have you undertaken in the last year? What kind of GPA are you currently attaining? And what are you planning to use the scholarship program for in the future? So it's kind of a platform for education, although to the public, they may look very similar on TV. There's sometimes not a lot of distinction in a quick show that's shown over 2 hours. But I think that they have very much established themselves as a beauty program. I think these women, they use this as an opportunity and a springboard for modeling careers and, you know, opportunities for public speaking and whatnot. I think that some of this, if it is similar, but some of it is very dissimilar.
If you're just joining us here on the radio, this is Meet the People. I'm Kels Thurington. I'm talking with Beth Helgerson. She was Miss Alaska in 1991. We're talking about some of the misperceptions that perhaps have confused people about what the Miss Alaska and Miss America pageants really are. Beth, when you were competing for the Miss America title, you had to have a talent. And everyone who's watched Seinfeld knows so well that in the Miss America competition, there is a talent portion of the competition. What was your talent?
My talent was piano, and I played excerpts from George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
Wow.
So that is what I did. Mm-hmm. I think this part of the pageant is the basis for a lot of comedy because, you know, even in Sandra Bullock's Miss Congeniality, she played the water glasses, and we all thought that was really funny because obviously that wouldn't fly at a real pageant, but it ends up being the basis for a lot of jokes.
Now, you also said that there was a political platform element to the competition these days. What did that mean for your vying for the title of Miss America?
Well, back in 1991, it had just started to become a focus of the competition. And as for me, I chose a platform around wellness and preventative health. And that's what I ultimately pursued as my first degree. I have a degree in exercise physiology and kinesiology. And I was looking at the trends of, behaviors from a very young age as far as physical fitness in the schools and the amount of fitness that a child would engage themselves in and how that would translate into either a healthy lifestyle or progressive potential for chronic disease. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of discussion about metabolic syndrome and things of those nature, but there really is a correlation. And I really worked to make that my platform. And I think at that time, when wellness and prevention weren't the buzzwords that they are now, especially with healthcare reform, it really fell a bit flat. Mm-hmm. And some of the platforms that we've really worked to develop with our young women over the years have been very varied in nature. The current Miss Alaska, Abby Hancock, her political platform is on international relations, and she's worked in Africa for a year. This is one of her big goals, is to really incite interest in why it's important for us to have a worldwide view. So there has been varied political platforms. But the new thing now is that regardless of what your personal political platform is, which is very important to be able to discuss at length, our national platform with the Miss Alaska Scholarship Program is the Children's Miracle Network. And every single state program raises money, raises awareness, and volunteers for that campaign. So that is, I think, a very important part of what we're doing as an organization, is tagging onto another organization to really put a lot of our community focus there as well.
All right, in our final moments with Beth Helgerson, who was the Miss Alaska in 1991. Let me ask you this. The interview portion of the competition is often behind the scenes, off stage. And in the personal interview, the judges ask a variety of questions, from frivolous trivia questions to serious political and social issue questions. What type of questions were you asked during your personal interview?
You know, I was asked a lot of very interesting questions. I went on foreign exchange, so they asked me about my experience in the Eastern Caribbean and what it was like going to school there. But I will always and forever remember the question that was asked to me on the Miss America stage, which, from a girl from small town Alaska, this had me a little bit thrown. They asked me, could you please tell us how you feel that international relations between Alaska and Japan affect world stability? Something along those lines. And I was like, oh my gosh, for every single person that thinks we're asked about, you know, saving the dolphins and world peace, this was kind of a politically layered question to talk about that relationship between our state and another country and what that meant, and as far as stability and U.S. relations as a whole. So it was a pretty intense question, and I did get questions like that along the line. Some I was able to answer pretty well. Others, quite honestly, I stuttered through, and that is the process that really does hone the young women that participate. It's really about the participants. Sometimes watching a pageant can be very painful and very awkward. Sometimes doing it can be painful and awkward, but it's really to the benefit of the person attempting to do it.
Yeah, Beth, since the pageant's peak in the 1960s, its audience has eroded significantly. In 2004, when its audience fell to fewer than 10 million viewers, which is still a lot of people, that's more than watch NBC Nightly News each night, a huge drop from 33 million viewers just 6 years before 2004. ABC decided to drop coverage of the pageant, and then a few years later in 2011 decided, well, they would actually air portions of the pageant again. Now, some are saying that it needs to be more about beauty and less about thought. Do you think that that is the problem that the Miss America pageant is really confronting now?
You know, I think so. I think the biggest question that I get all the time is this relevant? Is this relevant in 2011? And, you know, one of the reasons that I continue to be a spokesperson for this program is not necessarily because I have any personal benefit from this program anymore. My benefits happened when I competed and when I learned how to interview and when I learned how to present myself. But the relevance of this is still extremely critical, and I think it's because of the pressures that young women and young people are under every single day to really know who they are, how to present themselves. And I think that the critics that might say, hey, you should make this more about a, you know, just say what it is, it's a beauty pageant, but the people that are involved know that that really is not the case. It's a layer of it. It is not the entirety of it. And so what I would say in response to that is, you know, sometimes doing the right thing is not the easy thing. And I think that our CEO, Sam Haskell, if anyone that is listening has any reference to this man, would know the virtue of his history, his career. And he recently authored a book called The Promises I Made My Mother. It's about having some real virtue in what you're doing. And that really is why perhaps there are less viewers, perhaps there are critics that say it's not relevant, but the true supporters of the program understand that the real benefit happens way behind the scenes, not on TV, and typically is impacting hundreds of thousands of young women, not just the 50-odd young women that have the opportunity to compete at this national program once a year. It's really off the air that the value is truly interpreted through the program. So to those critics, I would say, you know, I guess first of all, take a look at the history of the program and what it's truly accomplishing. And secondly, it's typically the participants and not the viewers that are truly getting the benefit of this type of opportunity. And that's why I would say that to anybody listening that has a dream, that has a goal, that would like to get involved in something like this, there is that opportunity. And this is the only nonprofit organization that does not charge entry fees to its contestants, and that makes it also very unique, very opportunistic, and very special.
And Beth, we ought to add that in 2006, the Miss America program made available $45 million in scholarship money. Let me ask you this. When you were competing in 1991, did you have any idea of how well you were doing, or was it a complete surprise when the results were finally announced?
You know, I wasn't waltz in one time and win the Miss Alaska title. It was my third time competing, and at that point, I had a good feeling that I had the opportunity, but I always think that it's always an element of surprise, because even if you do well, there's no guarantee. But I think that really is a translation in life. I think that the whole goal is to go out, compete as hard as you can, and the biggest challenge is to try not to compare yourself to other people that also have a very strong presentation, a very strong talent. So I knew that I had a good opportunity because I'd kind of gone through the process and knew what I needed to change and how I needed to work on tweaking a few things. But, of course, it's always a surprise, and also it was a really, really big honor.
Well, thank you so much, Beth, for coming on the program and talking with us on Meet the People about your experience with the Miss Alaska pageant and your competition for Miss America back in 1991. I certainly appreciate it.
I'd love to share our email address if there's anyone that would like to email the program that's listening.
Sure, do that.
It is www.missalaskapageant.com. That is all one word, www.missalaskapageant.com. Or you can call Bonnie, our executive director, at 907-240-3308.
Just curious, how stiff is the competition in 2011 for the Miss Alaska title?
I would say extremely stiff. There is also a teen program. So young women age, I believe it's 14 through junior in high school, they can also compete. It's a real opportunity to really get started in this program. And then the Miss contestants are age 17 through 24. And every year I see about five or six women who are just absolutely stellar in their performance. And it's typically the girls that have competed one or two times in the past that really continue to improve, that I'm always very impressed at. I'm impressed at their ability to stick with it, to come back, and to keep improving. But we always have some superstar every couple of years that just waltzes in, wins the whole thing, and has never done a pageant before, ever. So it's always a crapshoot. The competition is always fantastic. It's in June, the 24th and 25th this year, and I'd encourage anyone interested to either contact the program, get involved, come watch it for the first time, and most of all, keep an open mind.
Well, thank you very much. Beth Helgerson comes on to talk with us about her experience back in 1991. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Kels.
That is Meet the People for today. I'm Kels Hetherington. Our executive producer is Austin Roof. Meet the People airs live on 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint and King Cove. It is also distributed by Native Voice One to some other public radio stations. Thanks for listening.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.